What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. This is my NXT AEW review over on FightfulSelect.com. Let's go ahead and get into it. I know a lot of you are watching this because we had some tech errors, or listening to this rather, because we had some tech errors on the main show. That will not happen next week. We will make sure of it. But just to get ahead of you, there will be a little bit of a change next week. Next week, we'll just have an NXT review, both on Fightful and Fightful Select. It'll be a little more abbreviated because of that, but we will find a way to cover the AEW show somehow as well. The weeks that AEW is on Thursday, I'll be doing a live post show on Fightful.com as well, so make sure you check that out. But AEW Dynamite, you had Young Bucks versus Dark Order, Stu Grayson, and Evil Uno. If you guys have listened to this show for any period of time, you know I'm a big fan and a big supporter of Stu Grayson's work. I think he's really good. The Young Bucks winning this is a good win because the Dark Order are not that far removed from a tag title shot. The funny thing is, most teams are not that far removed from a tag title shot, except for the Young Bucks and FTR by the way it seems. It's very unusual that all these other teams get tag title shots, but not Young Bucks or FTR, who are kind of sitting around waiting for that as they prepare their feud. This match was really great. It was just outstanding. You knew it was going to be outstanding, and it was. Later on, Tag Team Appreciation Night continues, and the Rock and Roll Express were brought out by the Young Bucks. Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard are brought out by FTR, and Tully and Arn get into it a little bit. And after they have to be separated by the Young Bucks, FTR attack the Rock and Roll Express. I love this. This ruled. So Ricky Morton took a bump of a lifetime, bumping like he's Rob Van Dam with Tommy Dreamer in 1998 ECW off that bounce. Jesus, he took that spike pile driver and it looked amazing. I thought that Tully rocked in this segment. The Rock and Roll Express rocked in this segment. FTR rocked in this segment. This was good. I mean, here's the thing. If we had crowds when FTR came out, then we're probably dealing with them as a babyface. Maybe Young Bucks as heels, maybe. But that ain't what we got. We've got what we got. And FTR can play heel to the type of crowd that they're working, and they can do it really well, maybe better than any other team in the world. So when I see them set up FTR as the heels against Young Bucks, I'm completely fine with it. It isn't what we expected, but we didn't ever expect what actually happened with the world, and that's a shame that we got to get it, but we're going to get this match. I don't know. Man, it's unfortunate that it's going to happen in front of no crowd, but I'm excited for the match. We see highlights of Sammy's attack on Matt Hardy last week. Matt Hardy has a great new shirt. It says that he won't die. He'll be cleared in about 10 days, and then he'll kick Sammy Guevara's ass. That date will be the NXT TakeOver night. So that's when they go head-to-head. They're adding that match. Sammy has some signs out there later on. There was some heat on this spot. Matt Hardy was not happy following that chair attack. It was brutal. It was brutal. He was upset. It was very chaotic backstage after that, and there was some heat on Sammy Guevara because that was a taped show, and there should have been. And he apologized, but I would imagine Matt Hardy's got some receipts coming for Sammy Guevara, so I got my eye on that one. Wardlow brings out MJF. He addresses his cabinet. This was not his best promo. It's like he leaned on saying John and Jonathan an awful lot. This wasn't for me. I didn't like this promo that much. It wasn't great. We hear Moxley's music hit, and MJF sends everybody out after Moxley because he goes to the VOMs, is what he called them, I think. And instead, Moxley comes out through the entrance and attacks MJF, and a little rough there. Throws him into the podium, rough, hit the paradigm shift, rough. I liked Moxley's attack. I did not like the promo. And here's the thing, if this were on another show, if this were on WWE, I'd probably be like, yeah, pretty good promo. But I hold MJF's to such a high standard that this one, I just... And I'm not big on the campaign stuff. That's not for me. I get that it's election season and all that. It's just, I don't think MJF needs it. I don't think he needs it. Up next, Cody, and he's got an entourage. The entire Nightmare family is out with him. Brandy's got little Bran with her. But takes on Scorpio Sky, and this is a good match. This is another one. I expected it to be good. Knew it was going to be good, and it was. One of my favorite spots in this match was Cody reversing out of the TKO and hitting the crossroads. I don't like the bastardizing of finishes all the time. And that's what keeps happening in AEW. It's a frustrating point for me. Scorpio Sky is... If he's not going to be a big star, he is going to be a TNT championship level guy. And I think he'd be there right now. I do want to see some more promo and character work out of him. But damn, he's so good, man. I remember watching him when he was wrestling under a mask doing dance spots with Human Tornado. Just really outstanding. That slingshot cutter... onto the ramp. It's not a ramp, the stage. Oh, that was a great spot. Loved it, man. Cody debuted the real TNT Championship. So they brought out the TNT Championship. It was unfinished in May. We all knew that it was unfinished in May. So now we get to see what it really looks like. There's a lot more gold plating to it. They prettied up the TNT, they embossed it, they made that gold. It has mostly a mirror around that, and it's got a lot more gold plating and silver plating on it than that nickel that we saw. It just looks so much better now. I still think it could use some engraving, but, I mean, as of now, I think it's a fine title. I think it's a fine title. It's a good way to brand it. Brody Lee pops up on the Tron with the old championship and says that he's going to take on Cody at the August 22 special edition of AEW Dynamite. Oh boy, do I love that they're building up the August 22 show as a special show. We'll talk more about that momentarily, but I like that. Scorpio Sky hung out there and didn't go back until after this. I would have liked to have seen Cody show some more respect there. You want to talk about a barn burner. Jesus, man. Hangman Page and Kenny Omega defeated Jurassic Express. I love Marco Stunt. He is such a good character. He doesn't wrestle as much, but he is such a good character. He helps out this act. Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus have become a fantastic team. And Omega and Hangman Page might just be the best tag team in the entire world. Might just be. And I'm saying that with them having wrestled less than 20 matches together as a team. They've been teaming since October, and they've wrestled less than 20 matches together as a team since then. Now, to be fair, they teamed together a few times over the years in New Japan. But I'm talking like 5-6 times. And those were usually in 8 or 10 man tag matches. So really, they've had less than 20 matches where they've teamed together. That's very goddamn impressive. That is incredibly impressive. Of course, this is bananas. Goes all over the place. Hangman Page and Kenny Omega end up winning. Pinning Jungle Boy. This benefited everybody. I thought a lot of the dinosaur jokes were a little cheesy from Luchasaurus. Like, took me 65 million years to get a title shot. Like, okay, we get it. We understand. 65 million years, you got your masters too. Cool. Santana and Ortiz find best friend's personal items and destroy everything. That's cool. Hikaru Shida beats Heather Monroe. Okay. She won with a stretch muffler. Cool. This is fucking tone deaf. This is so fucking tone deaf. After so many people bitching about how much time the women got last week, and then you give roughly less time. What the fuck are you all thinking? what the fuck are you all thinking? Now, I get it. Based on some of the matches that we have seen on the tag team tournament, you know, I get it. I get why you don't want to throw some of them newbies out there live. You don't got to worry about that with Big Swole or Nyla Rose. You're good there. You're good there. Bring in more polished people. And I get it, there aren't a lot. And they started off with some rough signings. And I know they'd love to have Shayna and Riho. Even Emi Sakura. I'm longing for the days of Emi Sakura and that shitty gimmick that she had. I know they'd love to have Chris Statlander. They are down like four or five of their best women. But for the love of God, you can have Big Swole on there beating up somebody. You can do it. Are you that committed to disliking whoever Marty Scurll dislikes that you won't bring in Deonna Purrazzo? She doesn't have a contract. She doesn't have an offer right now. And she's sitting out there Impact Knockouts champion without a contract. I applaud them for bringing in Diamante and Ivelisse. I don't know if throwing them in there against somebody who hasn't wrestled in 5 years and somebody who hasn't wrestled in a year and a half was the best idea. I like them bringing in Rachel Ellering. Sure. And I'm okay with Diamante and Ivelisse getting their feet out, getting their feet underneath them. They haven't wrestled in 5-6 months. So I get it. But my God, you got to give them some more time on Dynamite. For the love of God. For the love of God, a couple minutes. What is this? Lance Archer beats up some people backstage. That's cool. That's real cool. Chris Jericho wants Mike Chioda to call this match in his favor because he saved Chioda's job like 18 years ago. I like playing on history like that. Cool. Do it. Orange Cassidy beats Chris Jericho, and the thing is, Orange Cassidy tried in this match, but let me tell you, it was not my match. I did not like it. AEW overbooks a lot of their stuff, and we didn't need this overbook. I didn't think they clicked in this match. I thought their first match was so much better than this one. It was not for me. I didn't really like it. It was a little too slow-paced. I didn't like the overbooking at the end. Best friends coming out and brawling with Santana and Ortiz. That's fine. I get so fucking sick of distraction finishes, regardless of company. It just drives me nuts. Come up with something more creative. This wasn't good. This was, overall, one of the weaker episodes all around of AEW that I've seen in a while. And that's saying something because I thought it was a pretty solid episode. It's just I've got such a high bar for AEW, and this was not it. This just wasn't there for me. There's a lot of stuff that didn't click for me, and ahead of one of their biggest shows of the year, that's not good. That's not easy for me. Now, here's the thing. They do have some matches set up for the 8/22 AEW Dynamite. Now, some of you will say, hey, whoa. No Dynamite next week? Nope, no Dynamite next week. NBA on TNT coverage takes over. So they have right now the finals of the Deadly Draw Women's Tag Team Tournament. The semifinals are set for next week or next Monday. Cody will defend the TNT Championship against Brody Lee. Then we have Young Bucks and Kenny Omega taking on John Silver, Alex Reynolds, and Allen Angels. Gee, I wonder who will win that. FTR against Private Party. I want to see the styles clash of those two. We got Lucha Brothers, Butcher and the Blade against Jurassic Express and the Natural Nightmares. So maybe not so stacked up as much as I thought. That Cody Brody Lee match is going to be a big one. Sure. Other than that, kind of a weak show going up against the likes of NXT TakeOver 30. So it did seem like it, I guess, through that they were just announcing stuff. I guess I was off on the Sammy-Matt Hardy matchup that was announced. But he said 10 days, so hey, maybe he's just going to whip his ass in 10 days. Hell if I know. NXT, it kicked off with Killer Cross, Karrion Kross. He defeated Danny Burch. Danny Burch got some tree trunks for legs. Saito suplexes, Doomsday Saitos. He locks on the cross jacket until Burch passes out. This opening segment took way too long. Man. Lee comes out with a contract, says that he and Regal have signed it before tossing it onto the mat. And Cross signs it after Scarlett hands it to him, and she puts it back in the ring. Keith Lee opens it up and gets hit with a fireball and is taken away in an ambulance. Okay. All right. Sure. Awful lot of bullshit and gaga, I thought. And then halfway through the Drake Maverick Killian Dane match, it split screen with that. And then, as the ambulance drives off, Undisputed Era come out and beat the shit out of Drake Maverick and Killian Dane. Undisputed Era right now is everything that Retribution should be. Everything. Adam Cole calls out Pat McAfee and says that he challenges Pat to come to the PC next week so they can face off ahead of TakeOver. They rule right now. Santos Escobar defeated Tyler Breeze via pinfall. Man, I just can't get into Tyler Breeze, and I don't know why. I think it's because for the last 5 years, they have booked him to never, ever get above a certain level or even reach a certain level. And it's hard for me, as I'm watching him face the Cruiserweight Champion, to look and say, oh yeah, I'm super invested in this feud with this guy in Tyler Breeze who they've booked to cap out at a certain level, and then his tag team partner, whose booking peaked in his debut. Peaked at his WrestleMania debut beating Chris Jericho. Not a shot at Fandango. I think he's fucking hilarious. But LDF beat the shit out of Tyler Breeze and Fandango. If I'm a regular wrestling fan and I see this, I'm just like, seen this, seen it 100 times, saw it happen to Drake Maverick a bunch too. Okay. These Dakota Kai, Io Shirai promos rule, man. They're so good. They got the Io Shirai one subtitled before she leaves a couple of words in English, but Dakota Kai, just a really, really good promo. Really, really good promo, and I'm excited for this match. Dakota Kai has turned it up lately. This heel turn has reinvigorated her, and I'm seeing a level of work that is just... I'm not going to say I didn't think it was possible, because I did think it was possible. She's really good. But there's this level of work that I'm seeing from her that I'm like, yeah, if she won the title from Io Shirai, I would be fine with that. She talks about how she's done all this stuff on her own. I don't know where the hell Raquel Gonzalez is. I don't have a damn clue, man. So that, I'm interested to see where the hell that goes. Amazing video package, Johnny Gargano. We saw one from Ridge Holland, too. But Johnny and Candice, they're at home. They're doing stuff. They're with their dogs. Oh, God, I love these promos. These are so good. Johnny is taking shots at Damian Priest and Bronson Reed. This heel turn fits them both so much better. They're so less vanilla this way. And I'm excited for the Ridge Holland match. I mean, I heard that Gargano got dumped on his head and they had to edit the match. At least that's what Post Wrestling had put out there. But I think it'll be a good match. I think that's the kind of opponent that Johnny Gargano can make something really great out of. Mia Yim defeated Indy Hartwell. This was what it was. Mia's got not a lot going on right now. I would like to see some new blood instead of seeing the same 50-50 person put back in the spot, but it is what it is. Speaking of 50-50, Bronson Reed defeated Damian Priest via pinfall. Damian Priest is awesome. Bronson Reed landed on Priest. I don't know if Priest didn't get out of the way in time or not, but it was the old, oh, quick win on Damian Priest thing. Nothing better that to hype me up for an upcoming ladder match than to beat a bunch of the people that are associated with it before. Now, Dexter Lumis is out of this ladder match, by the way. He hurt his ankle on that dive that got edited. Next week, Gargano and Ridge Holland is for a spot. So, that's cool. I like that. But this match was good. But there was no reason to care that much about it because their fate is already sealed. So they're just wrestling to wrestle. There are no stakes. They will not improve their standing. They will not lose their standing at all. So it is the ultimate exhibition match. And to be honest, the more I flip over to that other show and I see matches with stakes or matches where people care about things or matches that have story behind them, the less I care about shit like this, despite the fact that I enjoy Bronson Reed and Damian Priest both. And you can't fault me for that, man. You can't fault me for that. In the UFC, if you're fighting, ideally you're fighting to improve your record and get closer to a title shot. Hot dog. And to double up money. Aaliyah and Mercedes Martinez defeated Casey Catanzaro and Kayden Carter. I thought Casey looked really good. I think Aaliyah looks better every week. I think Mercedes is a badass. And I think Kayden Carter is one of those people. Like, she just might randomly get called up to Monday Night Raw and start ending up on the brand and working a lot. I do think she needs to develop some character, but the Robert Stone brand win here, really great, great showing from Casey, especially. That rolling kick, that flipping kick was great. Mercedes does not want Aaliyah hugging all over her. Then Rhea Ripley comes out and starts to beat up Mercedes Martinez, but then Aaliyah jumps in, the numbers game happens. Shotzi Blackheart clears the ring with some good suplexes. You know where this is going. Rhea and Shotzi, new BFFs against Aaliyah and Mercedes. But Shotzi does have a reason to come after him because she's had that feud with the Robert Stone brand. Timothy Thatcher shows how to do an ankle lock at wrestling school. That's cool. North American Championship qualifier. Kushida, Cameron Grimes, and the mystery opponent, Velveteen Dream. Now, let me tell you, there were some people pissed off about this in the company, outside the company. The word was last month that he was about to get fired. And he is such a ridiculous talent. He is an undeniable talent. You can't deny the level of ability that he has. And if the guy can keep his nose clean, literally and figuratively, WWE will make sure he is a star, to whatever degree a star can be in WWE. But some of the shit that he is accused of, and some of the stuff that I have heard separately of this, I can't believe this guy has a job. I cannot believe he has a job. I hope for the life of me he can turn it around, because he's an incredible talent. But some of that stuff is stuff that you just don't, you don't give people the opportunity to turn it around under your watch. They got to go do it on their own. Some of that shit. Match is good. Kushida, Dream, Grimes all whip each other back and forth. The spots are unbelievable. I got to say, this was easily match of the night on NXT. Might be up there with the tag team match on AEW for match of the night. And Velveteen Dream did not miss a beat. He did not miss a beat. Kushida has not missed a beat. Goddamn, I've missed that guy. And please, for the love of God, at some point, just give me Kushida, Kyle O'Reilly straight up. I miss them wrestling so much. And then Cameron Grimes wins. You know, Cameron Grimes, the guy that's been 50-50'd with Damian Priest and everybody else. The guy who comes out and gets his ass whipped. Okay, you put him in there against the guy that he 50-50'd with and a guy who didn't win before the qualifier. You know, it's amazing that they had just rubbed in your face, hey, this North American title, it's a mid-card title. It's a mid-card title because Keith Lee didn't want it. He was too good for this title. Oh, by the way, Kushida, one of the greatest workers in the world. Velveteen Dream, who has at least been at the top of this card. I don't think he should have been rewarded with this spot by any means, but Damian Priest, let's 50-50 him and slash his tires. Let's throw all these people in there. I would not be surprised if Ridge Holland got put in this match. And I'm sure it'll be a great match. But could you beat me over the head with the fact that it's a mid-card title anymore? Dream attacks Kushida after the match, sends him out of the ring, and then Finn Balor shows up. Cool. Do that at TakeOver and have Finn Balor win. Do it. Next week, Legado del Fantasma against Swerve Scott and Breezango, because Swerve Scott ran in earlier. I cared so little about that segment that I forgot Swerve Scott, one of my favorite people on this show. McAfee and Adam Cole will face off. Ridge Holland and Johnny Gargano will face off. And I'll be here for it. Thank you guys so much. It's been a busy week. Been an exhausting week. Got that interview with FTR up. Got Jeff Cobb coming this week. Got a ton. Thank you guys. We're out.